The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Tom Gaddis. Tom always wanted to be self-employed and free from the butt-smooching of the corporate world. He wanted success bad enough that he struck out to follow the entrepreneur dream. Starting from zero, Tom embarked on building a local marketing consulting business. And promptly, he, quote, fell on his face, but he persevered and learned from his mistakes. After achieving success with his local marketing, Tom leveraged his experience and knowledge to start teaching others online. Now, through his website and his new What's the Secret podcast, he's going to be sharing with you exactly how he did it. Tom, welcome to the show.
Aloha. Man, I'm super excited to be here. I always like to say aloha because I live in Hawaii on Maui, so it's always nice to spread the aloha around.
Spread the joy. I'm so happy to have you on the show. I mean, you started from zero. You wanted to be an entrepreneur. You embarked on it. You succeeded. And I was just talking to you offline, and your success is exceptional. So please tell us. Tell us your journey. Tell us your story. Well, where does that drive come from?
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, I didn't start off as an entrepreneur. Like, one of the things I like to really point out to people is that for me, the entrepreneurship has been a journey of becoming, right? Like, I've had to really look at myself, be honest with myself, invest in changing my behaviors, working on my mindset, my actions, all those things to become the type of person that is an entrepreneur and has a couple of successful businesses, right? So yeah. My journey actually started in the restaurant business. So I was a restaurant manager, corporate restaurant manager for a couple of different places, Olive Garden, Logan's Roadhouse. But I wanted to, you know, the thing with being a restaurant manager is it's a lot of hours. The hours are pretty crazy. It was exciting work. I liked that part of it. But not being able to spend as much time as I wanted to with my family. I have a wife and two daughters. You know, not being able to do that, having to work a lot of holidays. And also, too, you know, one of the things that I've always kind of seen is like the thing about having a regular job or a job, as people like to call it, is, you know, your potential to increase your income is very limited, right? Like, you know, every year as a restaurant manager, I would get a raise, but it was never like there was no chance to double your income in a year as a restaurant manager, right? It was you just couldn't do that. It's just not how it works, right? So I really wanted more independence and control of what I was doing, right? I wanted to be able to kind of, you know, live a life I wanted to, or I could spend time with my family. And, you know, I had more control over my income and things like that. That freedom that I think so many people, when they look to entrepreneurship, they think, oh, that's really what I want, freedom. You know, as you get into entrepreneurship and you start to build something and have success, you find that, well, at least for me, like being a successful entrepreneur is really about building up discipline and, you know, being somebody who, you know, gets things done, who shows up on time, who meets deadlines, all that kind of stuff. And you do get a certain level of freedom that comes along with it. But it's very different, I think, it was very different than from what I had imagined when I wasn't an entrepreneur, right? Like, yeah. I thought it's like, oh, yeah, you just kind of sit around and do nothing, right?
And, yeah, right.
Yeah, right. And It's not like that. Like you have more, you know, I do put a lot of effort into my businesses. I do work a lot. It feels different, even though I probably work more than when I was a restaurant manager. It doesn't feel that way because I can kind of do it on my own time.
Yeah.
Right. Like I can set my own schedule, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I was one of the things I was just thinking about the other day is like 2 weeks ago, I took my family over to Lahaina for a little. Lahaina's like on the other side of Maui. And I rented a little Airbnb over there to do like a staycation with them just to kind of get out of Kihei where we live. And it got me thinking about like a lot of gurus, like they would use that as like a selling tool, right? Like, oh, look, I get to go on this little 3-day trip with my family. In the meantime, my business is making money in the background. See how easy it is to be an entrepreneur, right?
Yeah,
and make money online. But like what they don't tell you behind the scenes is like there are a lot of days, weeks, months, and years that I couldn't do that, you know, because I was focused on building the business, right? Like now it's starting to pay off and I'm able to do those kinds of things periodically, not all the time. And, you know, and that's really kind of why I started my podcast was to sort of share that experience with people, kind of give them a real behind the scene looks at what it takes. Because once I left the restaurant business, I moved to Maui with my family. I had never been to Hawaii. And I had a job as a restaurant manager here, and I got fired about 8 months in. And I thought, well, I'm going to give this entrepreneur thing a shot. So I started to, you know, try to grow a local marketing business, and I was not having success. I got to this point where I had been collecting unemployment. It was going to run out. My back was really against the wall, and it was like, it was do or die, right? You either make this work or you go back to a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a strategy and a thing that worked. And that like put the motivation under me to keep moving forward, right? So I really invested in making this local marketing company the best it could be. And I grew it up to over six figures. That's what I was doing. But as I was looking at it, I was like, you know, this is great, but I really want, you know, I want to go bigger. Like, okay, we've hit this step. Let's do something bigger. So I knew there was a market for others that wanted to do this thing that I was doing, right? A lot of people try it. Some people don't have success. So I started putting out online courses, and that part of my business really took off. So I started that in 2016 with my business partner, Nick Ponte, who also has a local agency here on Maui. And over the past, what, 3.5 years, it is just like we've just built up this really huge community of people that are, you know, they're looking to build businesses. They're building businesses themselves, right? We have a really great community, a lot of people taking action, having success.
Yeah.
And so now that's what I do, right? So we have this, I've got all my clients I work with, and then we have this community we have at Offline Sharks. So if, you know, for me, the next step, I always kind of think like, look, well, if I can do something, because I'm just an ordinary guy, right? Like I'm nothing, I don't have a big college degree. I don't know a lot, like a lot of the things that I've done have been self-taught. I figure them out on my own. And so like, I really do feel like if I can get to a certain level or have some success, that it's really kind of like my ethical obligation to turn around and show other people how I did that. Cause maybe other people want to get there too. Maybe they want to do that. So now that Offline Sharks is really growing, I want to share how we did that part of the business. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So how did we grow this thing from nothing to it's a multiple seven-figure a year business. It's all online, right? And doing these courses. So, you know, how did we do that? And so that's why I started the What's the Secret podcast. That's just a place for me to share, you know, how we're doing all that kind of stuff there in Offline Sharks and, you know, talk to other entrepreneurs about their journey and stuff like that. So that's the story in a nutshell.
Yeah. Wow, Tom. I love how you started off and says it has been a journey of becoming. Entrepreneurship is about becoming because you really have to transform. You have to get to the frequency of your goals because they're bigger than you and you can't really reach them just yet. Right. And I love that you address that piece of it because Einstein has a quote that says, you can't solve the problems of today with the same mind that created them. Like you have to change. You have to transform. You have to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know, that's what drew me to your podcast and why I was excited to be on here, because one of the first changes I made was getting up early in the morning.
Yeah.
Like that was one of the very first things. Like, even though I didn't need to get up early in the morning, right? Like there was no reason, but I started doing it anyway. And, you know, developing that kind of morning routine and that habit of doing that and sticking to it, right? Yeah. Like that really made a profound shift in my life and what I was doing, right? And I still stick to that today. And even during, I think it's been one of the things that's kept me sane and motivated during all the stuff that's going on in the world right now, is that even when we were shut down in Hawaii, even when all the stuff was going on, like I found a way to stick to my routine. Now it looked different, right? Because I couldn't leave my house, but I was still following the routine, you know, getting up at the same time, doing that kind of stuff. So it definitely has helped.
Yeah, the discipline. And we'll get to your morning routine, because that is to the meat of the show. But we love talking about you and your success. And I wanted to address what you said about working long hours. We really, as entrepreneurs, work harder. We work longer hours. We work more than we would in our corporate job. And essentially it comes down to, because we're building something. We're building a legacy. We're leaving a foundation, and we're also adding value versus just working for the man. And you don't see that investment, right? You don't see the growth in it. And also just not giving back, because really your service is in correlation to how much value you add to other people's lives. And that's the beauty of owning your own business, is you don't worry about the hours. You're like, how much am I making an impact? Whose lives am I changing today? Who is learning from what you had to self-learn? Who can you teach that so you can save them years so they don't make the same mistakes you made?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, I don't want to downplay the financial side of it, because, like, I mean, I wanted to be in the beginning an entrepreneur because I wanted to make big money, right? Yeah. Like, I wanted to, like, that was a driving factor. But I have discovered, you know, the way to do that is to help as many people as you can. The more people you can help, the more you can help them do the things they want to do, the more you can help them get to where they want to go, mm-hmm. you know, the more success that you have for yourself. And so you kind of, even if you get into it for purely kind of selfish reasons in the beginning of like, I just want to make some money, like if you don't make that shift and realize right away, like, well, the only way to do that is to really care about the people that, you know, that are your customers, that are engaging with your business. If you don't really invest in doing the best job you can for them, you're not going to succeed, right? Like, so that is a shift, I think, that sometimes people have to make. Not everybody. I mean, there are a lot of people out there that like they have a passion and they just want to do their passion, right? And they want to figure out a way to make money with their passion. I wasn't really that way. Like, I just was like, hey, you know, like there are some things I was interested in, but I didn't really have that driving passion. I think over the years, I've started to get more of it as I start to really see what's possible. And as I start to achieve different things, and I think, God, if I can do this, like anybody can do it. Like there's, you know, like this is crazy that other people aren't able to do this. So, so that's, you know, that's what inspired me to do, you know, the What's the Secret podcast. Was that's more of a passion project, right? It's not a, how can I make money from this? It's more of like, well, what can I share with you and help you to get to where you want to go?
Mm-hmm. The development piece of it is key. So tell us about the Offline Sharks.
Yeah. So Offline Sharks is a community of like freelancers. They're mainly like website designers, graphic designers, search engine optimization people, website developers, social media managers, pay-per-click type people, anything that has to do with digital marketing, right? With driving business online. And what our community is people that see a opportunity there for themselves to build a business by offering those services to businesses, usually in their direct local area, that maybe don't know how to do those things, don't have the time to do them. And, you know, we have a lot of people in our community that make a very good living doing that, right? They're able to, you know, they work with the local auto shop. They work with some local restaurants. They work with the local gyms, you know, and they help them implement all these things online that businesses today need to do. And honestly, most businesses just don't have the time to do it themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like they just, I mean, they're swamped trying to run their own business, keep their head afloat. And so if you can come in and offer to help and make progress for them, you know, then they're more than happy to pay you for that service.
Yeah. Alleviate the burden. It's quite a task. I'm into email marketing right now. I mean, just copywriting, just putting the email content together takes hours. I'm amazed why it takes so long, but you got to tell a story.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's so great about that is like, whatever area you're in, right? You like you mentioned copywriting, and this is something that I think about a lot because I think that is one of the core kind of skills to understand. No matter what kind of business you're trying to start as an entrepreneur, like if you have a basic understanding of copywriting and how that works, like and direct marketing in general, it puts you way ahead of the curve, way ahead of the game. If you're in an you know, like in your local area and you're studying copywriting, like you don't have to be the most advanced, best expert copywriter out there, because the reality is that most of the businesses you talk to have no idea about that stuff.
Right.
Like they don't even know the basics. Mm-hmm. And so you can come in and just by implementing the basics, like not only can you get them results, but like you'll make them really happy and you're not competing against a bunch of other people that are trying to do this. Like none of their competition is doing it. Like they don't know it either, you know? So you can really help them succeed just by knowing a lot of the basic stuff when you're dealing with local businesses in your area. Now, when you start to get into the, just using copywriters as an example, you know, if you want to be a copywriter in the financial niche and all that stuff, like those guys, I mean, that's, you know, obviously that's where some of the highest paid copywriters are. And so the level of game you have to compete in that arena mm-hmm. is super, super high. But just being able to kind of come into your own area, provide this, like not only does it sharpen your skills, you get experience, but you can make a very decent, I mean, you can make a very decent living. I'm talking, you know, multiple six figures, just providing that to small and, you know, medium sized businesses in whatever area you're in. So, you know, it's not like you're working for peanuts. It can be a very good,
lucrative,
fulfilling life and give you the independence that you want.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us about the Milk It method. Now, it's an acronym. Go ahead and break it down for us.
Yeah, sure. So the Milk It method is kind of like my overall strategy whenever I go to do anything, whether that's starting a service-based business like I did with my agency, or whether it's starting Offline Sharks. It's kind of a framework that gives you guidelines on how you can to make sure you're able to put something together that people are going to want to buy, right? That's basically it. And so the M stands for market. So, you know, whenever you're doing anything, you're looking to sell anything, the first thing you have to try to figure out as well, is there a market for this, right? And is the market worthwhile? Like, does the market spend money? Does the market buy a lot of stuff? Does the market need my help? You know, and a market really is just a buyer, right? Like when you have a group of buyers, they're a market. So, you know, market, that's always where we start with any project. And it's also where you can start with any content that you put out, right? Like, so if you're going to write a blog post, you have to start with your, people say, instead of market, they say your audience. You have to start with your audience. It's the same thing though, right? Market. Mm-hmm. So most anything we're doing, we are always starting with that, the market, the audience, that type of thing. The I stands for idea. So, you know, your idea is like, okay, well, what am I going to bring to this market? Like, what is it that I feel like they need, or what is it that the market is telling me they need? That's even better.
Yeah.
And usually the way we figure that out is by looking at their pain points, right? Like what causes them pain? Where are they trying to get to? What's stopping them? And can I help them, you know, address that pain point? So market, idea, the L stands for launch. And one of the things that I think a lot of entrepreneurs get stuck on is this phase of launch, right? Like where, okay, we've identified a market, we have an idea. Now, most entrepreneurs get bogged down in either creating their product or building out their business. Like they think everything needs to be perfect. They've got to spend money on a website and get business cards. And like my strategy and philosophy is like at the launch phase, we just want to see if we can make some money, right? Like, can we get somebody to buy what we're selling? And so in the launch section, we're really trying to look and see what is the quickest way to get something out there that somebody can pay us so we can validate our idea.
Yeah.
In the software as a service industry, they have a saying called the minimum viable product.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that applies to any type of business you're running, whether it's software or not. Like, I think even a service, like, you know, you want to get your, what's the minimum thing you need to get out there? Like in the case of a digital marketing agency, right? Like you need a service to offer, and then you need some clients to do it for. So you can kind of strip everything away and be like, okay, well, if I go out and start talking to business owners and I get a few clients, like if I can get a few clients, I've validated my idea. Like then I can put a website together and build up my business and hire a team if I want and all that stuff. But let's see, like, can I get some sales with this first so we can validate our idea? Mm-hmm. And then the K in milk stands for ka-ching, which is okay. Once we've got this thing, right? Once we've got this thing launched, like how do we grow it? How do we scale it? How do we make a more sustainable business? Cause there are probably a lot of holes in your business at that point, right? Cause you're just getting it out there. And so, you know, we start looking at more of the longer picture. We start looking at, okay, we've got this group of people that have bought some things from us. Like, what can we continue to sell to them? What other ways can we continue to help them? What other things can we do for this group that's already bought from us? And then how can we expand and grow and bring more people into the business as well? So when you think about the ka-ching, it's really about, you know, multiple streams of revenue is one way that I phrase it. But I think a lot of people have a mixed up view about multiple streams of revenue. Like they think, okay, when you have multiple streams of revenue, they picture somebody that has, you know, maybe 8, 9, 10 businesses, all different, all bringing money to them, right? Or maybe they're in
real estate.
Yeah. Maybe they're in real estate. Maybe they're doing all these different things. And for me, that's not what it means to me. It's like, well, how can we take this thing we're doing and create more streams of revenue into it? So like with Offline Sharks as an example, we do product launches to grow our business. That's how we started, like putting out products, selling them. So one way we could grow that was to start a monthly paid membership, mm-hmm. right? And then another way was to offer private coaching. Like, so we're still in the same business, but we're developing these multiple streams of revenue that are bringing people in. And another step was software. We can make our own software and sell that. So there's, you can have multiple streams of revenue in one business, mm-hmm. if you really think about it, and how you can bring more value to the people that you're serving is usually the way you come up with those things.
Yeah, you're diversifying within your own niche, with your own market.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at like what I did with my service-based marketing agency, right? Like that is really dealing with local clients. When I started Offline Sharks with Nick, like really we were doing that to diversify as well, mm-hmm. right? Because now we have a business that deals with people on the ground and we've got this online business. And, you know, when the whole shutdown and all that stuff helped, I was really glad we had a diversified business, right?
Yeah.
So, and it would have been the other way. If something would have happened in the online part, had like if the internet had gone down or something like that, like I'd be really glad that I have the clients that I work with. So that diversification, I think, is key no matter what you're doing.
Yeah. Have you used the product launch by Jeff Walker to launch your products?
So we don't follow that format. You know, Jeff's format is really great, you know, with the four videos and all that stuff. His tends to be, most people that use that tend to be launching higher priced products and things like that. And that's really not what we do. We tend to launch products that are, you know, in the $27, $37 range, you know, to bring new customers into our business. So we don't really need to do as much of that. We've used that formula on a few things internally, you know, where we send them to a video to lead them into maybe things like if we're doing maybe one of our private coaching classes or something like that, we'll do that. But I mean, it's a great formula. It's just our strategy is more like, okay, we've got a lower cost thing. So we spend our time focusing on our joint venture partners. So, you know, we go out and find other people that have an audience like ours that are interested in the things our audience is interested in. And then, you know, we strike a deal with them to promote our product. And that's how we grow our audience inside Offline Sharks.
Yeah. JV partnerships, joint ventures.
Affiliate marketing. Some people call it that too.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, before we get into your morning routine in a second, what can you share with us about how to grow six-figure businesses. I mean, you talk about diversification, you talk about how to grow the audience, knowing their pain point, and the whole milk it method. What other tip can you give us to grow six-figure income businesses?
Sure. Well, I think if you're, you know, the difference between, I think, growing like a six-figure business and then scaling up to seven figures and even on is really just a matter of volume and expanding your audience. So I think all the things you need to do initially are pretty much the same, whether you're trying to grow, like if you're going to make seven figures, you got to make six figures first, yep. right? Like, yep. And if you're going to make six figures, you got to make your first 10,000, then you got to make your first five, you got to make your first 1,000. So one of the things that I think is really important is a lot of people focus, I think, too much on the bigger goal and they don't spend enough time breaking it down. And so what that results in is that results in somebody that's trying to go too big, too fast, too soon, right? And a good example I can give you is we work with a lot of people that are trying to grow a six-figure agency. And sometimes they'll send us questions about products or strategies that we have. And a lot of times they'll say things like, well, you know, how does this work when you have with 100 clients? And I'll say, well, how many clients do you have? And they'll say, well, I don't have any. And I'll say, well, wait a minute. Before you worry about whether this will work with 100 clients, why don't we get one client right. and see how it works with that, right? Like, and I get this because I did this too. Like, it's like you don't have any momentum. You haven't made any sales, but you're already worried about scaling, right? Because that's where you want to go. And so I think an important thing is to take a step back and say, okay, like really break things down. Like, I need to focus on getting my first three clients. It doesn't matter if the method I use to get those first three is scalable or not scalable. That is unimportant. What's important is that I get those first clients and get income coming in. And if you have a business that's an online business, it's the same thing. It's like before we worry about having a product launch that does millions of dollars, let's worry about just having one where we sell something.
Yeah.
Right? Like, let's get that part down first. And so I think taking a step back, not worrying about so much how to scale and all that stuff in the beginning, which isn't a natural thing, right? Like as entrepreneurs, I think, you know, we want to do things the most efficient way. We want to have the best, you know, but a lot of times when you to have success, you just have to make a decision, pick the thing you're going to do, and then you have to move forward relentlessly with it until you get the result you want.
And learn as you go.
And learn as you go is a really key point to that. So I think that's one thing, right? Like really breaking down your goals, really back focusing on there's nothing wrong with being small. Like every business starts small. So there's nothing wrong with that, right? So focus on being small first and then grow. Mm-hmm. Another thing I think with growing businesses, six figures and up is, you know, everybody talks about passive income and recurring income and yes, that stuff is a key component to long-term growth and hitting the numbers that you want, like building in some type of recurring revenue from the beginning. But I also think too that, you know, again, we need to get our clients first, whether they're recurring income or not recurring income, and then we can build that stuff in as we go, right? So once you start getting some clients, then I would start focusing on, okay, how can I get these clients to pay me on a regular basis, whether that's a retainer, whatever that is, right? Like, how can I level out my cash flow by having clients paying me every month without me having to chase them down or it being project based?
Yeah.
So I think that's the second step. And then the third step is building a team, getting some help sooner rather than later. I think a lot of entrepreneurs have this idea that, okay, they're going to get their business to a certain level and then they'll have the money to hire a team. But there's so much to do in business these days that it's really hard to do it by yourself. So I think the earlier you can find people to help you and bring them in to take that load off, the better off you're going to be. And that's certainly a key to scaling is having those. It doesn't have to be a lot of people. It can just be one person. But there's plenty of people out there that can help you, you know, do certain tasks and things and take things off your plate so that you can focus on, you know, what you need to focus on. And for most entrepreneurs, like I think before you're anything below $1 million a year in revenue, like you need to be focusing on sales. Like your biggest revenue producing activity is going to be generating sales. And so anybody you can bring on that allows you to do more of that is just going to allow you to grow and scale as quickly as possible.
Thank you for sharing. That is good advice. I'm taking notes for myself, for my own business. I really appreciate it. What I'd like to do right now is let's talk about your morning routine. You say you're an early riser. And as an early riser, I know Earl Nightingale says, if you wake up an hour earlier than your normal time, at the end of the year, you will have gained 6 weeks through the year.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's a lot of time. So go ahead and tell us, how do you get up, dress up, and show up? What's your morning routine like?
Yeah. So a couple of things. Yeah. I mean, I would say I started gradually, right? Like I picked a time. I was like, okay, I'm going to start getting up at 6:30 every morning. And then I started adding like 15-minute increments to that, right? Like, okay, let's, you know, we'll suck it back. And one of the things that has really helped me is like, my thing is when the alarm goes off, I love to hit the snooze button. And when I open my eyes, I don't always feel like just jumping out of bed. And so I have to have things in place to combat those two things right off the bat. So a couple of things I do. One is like, think about the night before what I need to get done and what I want to do first thing when I get up in the morning so that I have some level of motivation. Like, I know I need to, like, I create that feeling of like, okay, you need to get up because you said yesterday, these are these things you were going to do and you were going to have them done by the certain time.
Yeah.
Right. Also understanding what's important for me. Like, just over the past year, I've gotten interested in becoming more healthy. You know, I was very unhealthy. I was like, I weighed probably over 40 pounds heavier than I am now. And so when I put health as a priority, that meant to get the things in that I need to see the results, like to get in workouts and things like that, because I'm busy, I needed to start getting up even earlier.
Yeah.
Right. So having a clear goal, having a reason why I want to hit that goal, being really tied to that goal, like taking it very seriously, like saying, hey, like Tom, this is what you said you want. And if you want this, that means you need to do these actions every day. Right. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's really what it's about, doing these little actions every day, because I used to be a work really hard for 2-3 days and then just blow, you know, just like goof off for a few days and then work really hard and then goof off. And I could never really get consistent results that way.
Yeah.
Right. So having that discipline of doing something every day. So one is those things I just said, you know, having, you know, clear goals, all that stuff. The next thing is, you know, moving my alarm clock away from the bed so that I can't just reach over and hit it to turn it off. The next part for me is like, as soon as I get out of bed, I brush my teeth because there's something about brushing my teeth that just wakes me up.
The tingling sensation.
The minty taste, it just starts to get my juices flowing. And then I'll drink I love these carbonated flavored waters, you know, the no calorie ones. So I always put one of those in the fridge the night before. So, you know, get up, brush my teeth, and then I go drink this carbonated cold water pretty quickly. And that just gets me going.
Yeah.
Another thing I do is like on days where I'm going to work out, I sleep in the shorts that I'm going to work out in. So I don't have to, like, then when I get up and I brush my teeth and I drink the water, I'm like, well, I'm already in my workout shorts. Like, might as well, like, next thing to do is put on my workout shoes, right? Yeah. So socks, shoes, and then I can do, you know, go bust out whatever it is that I'm going to do to work out. If it's not a workout day, then I'll just jump in the shower, right? To really get woken up and just get the body moving forward.
Yeah.
I think that's the key for me in the morning.
That's awesome. That's great. You have great habit building strategies. And I'm glad you actually went into details to showcase it to the audience, to my listeners, because we talk about habits, but we need to talk about the increment, the gradually growing these habits and adding to these habits and also setting up our environment so that we are successful with these habits. Because the brain is structured to talk you out of it. Within 5 seconds, it's going to talk you out of doing it because it's it's new, it's foreign, it doesn't want to do it. If it's not familiar, I'm not doing it. Let's just lay back down.
Yeah. Well, then there's that point where it's just gut check time, right? Like there's really no hack, trick, or secret to it. You just have to do it. Like you just have to do the action. So if you say you're going to get up and brush your teeth, then you just get up and brush your teeth. At least do that part. you know, and well, then
you're doing quite a bit of strategy though, Tom, because the habit stacking is you wearing your pants before going to sleep. You're preparing the night before. You're actually putting your alarm clock further away from you. Those are all strategies into building habits, because again, you don't want to give yourself a reason to fail or not to execute on it the next day. So it's really fascinating to hear you explain it that way. And you're not even aware that it's a strategy. You're like, this is what I do. I need to do it. I get up and do it. But I have, that's what I teach my clients. That's what I have a course on how to build habits effectively and how to stack habits upon the things you're already doing. And you just exemplify that beautifully.
Oh, well, thanks. I'm glad. Yeah. I mean, it definitely, all those little things add up and help. Right. Mm-hmm. And then just having that resolve to do that, to do those same things over and over, day in and day out. Right. Yeah. You get to kind of, you get to love your routine. And then when you don't do it, you feel like off kilter, you know, you're like,
yeah,
that's why
you feel blah. Yeah, you didn't complete it. You didn't do it all. You did one. You didn't do two. You didn't do all items on your list, right? What you need to kind of work you up. I have the app. It's called Hit Savers app, and each item is a habit you could do in the morning. And the first one is hydrate, which is what you do after brushing your teeth, right? Yep. And then there's exercising, there's reading, there's meditating, and all that is in within the app to help you just check it off. Check off what you've done in the morning so you don't forget anything. So you are at your prime. So I really am grateful that you came on the show today and was able to share your morning routine and your success story. And just a brief recap for our listeners before I let you go, Tom, is the Milk It method. Really, the M stands for market, knowing that you have an audience, knowing that you have people that want your product. And ID is finding their pain point and can actually have them tell you what their pain point is. Surveys, see that there is a need for your services before you go out and launch or develop a product. And then the launch comes in where you just gotta put it out there. MVP, your most valuable product. You get it out there and get people to give you feedback. That market research, that customer feedback is so crucial. And then ka-ching, you said ka-ching, I thought of dollar signs. But
yeah, that's it. That's exactly right. Ka-ching, baby.
It's a scaling. And how do you scale? How do you grow? How do you make your sales? So really informative. And thank you for sharing today, Tom. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. Yeah, this was great. Great questions. And I'd say the only last thing I would say about the morning routine and building the habits is like, go easy on yourself. Like if you miss a day, if you mess up, like don't beat yourself up, like relax. Just make a resolve to do it better the next day and keep moving forward. You know, no need to get all down and out about it.
Well put. It's having grace. Have grace towards yourself and go easy on yourself. I like that.
Yeah.
Tom, it's been a pleasure. I thank you again for your presence. That is it.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, and I am, if anybody's interested on some more information on the Milk It method,
tell us how to connect with you.
Sure. So it's a free e-guide that I put together. It's called the Milk It method, how to turn your idea, product or service or skill into a huge cash cow. And you can just go to tomgaddis.com and it's right there on the page to download for free. You know, there's no hidden tricks there. So it's just a resource that I put out there for people. And then if anybody's if you're a freelancer, if you're a website designer or anything like that, and you're interested in what we're doing over at Offline Sharks, how to build your business, grow, scale, all that stuff, you can find that information at offlinesharks.com.
Excellent. All that will be on the show notes. Thank you again for coming on. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Mahalo.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.